This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
Brought to you this week by Senglob Financial Group, reminding you to support pro-life causes.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Good morning and welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hying, rector of the seminary and host of this half-hour program. It's always a joy to be here with you and to speak about events, personalities, and life in our local community as we prepare men for the Catholic priesthood for our archdiocese. As you know, St. Francis Seminary has been in existence for 160 years, and through all of those changes and challenges and joys, she has always been faithful to her mission to be the salt of the earth. We heard just a few Sundays ago in Matthew's gospel that we're called to be salt of the earth, light of the world. All of us by baptism are called to be that transformative difference, that Christ difference in the lives of others. Obviously, priests have a key role to play in that exciting process because priests are called to proclaim the gospel, to celebrate the sacraments, and to shepherd God's people. And we see in those fundamental tasks the continuation of Jesus' great commission to the apostles on the day of his ascension and its fulfillment in Pentecost. We're blessed today to have two of our great seminarians with us who are on the verge of ordination to the transitional diaconate, Jamid Blanco and Ryan Pruse, who are here with us today, just to reflect a little bit on their vocational journey and the excitement as their admission to the Sacrament of Holy Orders looms largely on the horizon. So good morning, Jamid and Ryan. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
I think just as an initial thing, I know, Ryan, you've been on the show before. Jamid, you haven't, so I'll start with you, Jamid. If you want to just talk a little bit about your background, your vocational call. Obviously, you were born and raised in Columbia. Here you are in Milwaukee in this terrible, snowy, dark, cold place, willing to lay your life on the line for the rest of your life to serve God's people here in Milwaukee. So how did you end up here?
Well, first of all, my name is Jamid Jose Blanco Ariza, and I'm from Colombia. I'm 35 years old, and I've been here in Milwaukee for about 3.5 years. I ended up here because I have a priest friend of mine who was and is working now with the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. He gave me a call, and he really encouraged me to come and join the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. He was telling me the most beautiful things about this city, so I got very excited. And he introduced me to Father Brian Holbus, and Father Brian Holbus introduced me to the vocation office. And I started a process for about a year. And after that, they decided to bring me here to learn first English, and after that to complete my theological studies.
It's amazing. I remember picking you up at the airport in July of 2007, and you didn't know a word of English. Did you ever think at that moment you'd be sitting here talking on the radio in English about 3.5 years later? That's really amazing, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's a blessing to have you here. I've been blessed to be in your country, Colombia, twice, and it reminds me of Ireland because it's so green, but also Ireland in the days when it had so many vocations that they exported priests and nuns to the whole world. And Colombia is really in that situation, isn't it? There's so many seminarians that many of them must leave in order to become priests elsewhere.
Yes.
That's a remarkable situation that obviously here in the United States we can't even understand, but what a great situation to be in. But we're blessed to have you with us, Jamid, and certainly will be blessed for many years of ministry, God willing. And Ryan?
My name is Ryan Pruse. I'm a third-year seminarian for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. I just grew up in Milwaukee area, was born and raised in Slinger, and currently am just enjoying theology and really enjoying my formation here at the seminary. So.
And the reason you're on the show today is that you're both looking forward to being ordained as transitional deacons on Saturday, April 16th, which is just a couple months away at St. John's Cathedral. It's the day before Palm Sunday. And so it's really a remarkable time to enter into the Sacrament of Holy Orders, because you're walking literally into the Paschal mystery of Holy Week. And I think what a beautiful image that will be for your ministry, that you were ordained just on the verge of the church's entrance into the most holy of weeks, when we celebrate the Paschal mystery. And really, I think deacons, priests, bishops, in a very particular sacramental way, are servants of that Paschal mystery of Christ. So just to ask your thoughts on, what is the transitional diaconate? It's a stepping stone to the priesthood, obviously, but what's particular about it? Why is it something that we don't just hurriedly pass over, but for at least a number of months you stay as a deacon ministering? What does that mean to you, Shamid?
Well, transitional diaconate means to me that we are also following the priesthood. We are going to be ordained as priests too. In the church, we had two kind of diaconates, transitional diaconate and permanent deacons. So the difference between permanent deacons and transitional deacons are that we can be a priest, a transitional deacons. They are not following, you know, the way to be a priest, but and also they can get married. And we cannot get married. We just give up, you know, to that right.
So in the early church, there were deacons, there were essentially permanent deacons, and their role was to serve the poor and to proclaim the gospel and really to help with the social needs of the poor and the sick. So we think of deacons like Stephen, the first martyr. He was a deacon in Jerusalem. We think of Lawrence, who famously served the poor in Rome. We think of Ephraim. There was a permanent diaconate in the early church that kind of withered away through the Middle Ages, and diaconate ended up becoming simply a stepping stone to the priesthood. And it was with the reforms of Vatican Council II that the permanent diaconate was brought back, right? So that your deacons really serve that role of proclaiming the gospel and being attentive to the poor and sick. Nevertheless, there's still an importance to the transitional diaconate as you move towards the priesthood. So what will you be doing as transitional deacons? What's distinctive or different about that, Ryan?
The transitional diaconate just gives us a great opportunity to really kind of get involved in the ministry of kind of what a deacon does in terms of baptizing children and witnessing marriages and being really an active presence in the parish as part of the ordained clergy. So for somebody preparing for the priesthood, just really gives us a great opportunity to have some hands-on experience in terms of ministry and also in service to the greater church.
And also we had the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach to people too.
How do you feel about preaching? I remember being terrified when I first was ordained a deacon and had to stand up and preach. How does that make you feel as you think about it?
Well, this is a very, you know, when thinking about preaching, it's a mixture of feelings, you know. It's very difficult, but it's something very excited. And I'm really looking forward to being preaching, especially at the seminary and also at my parish, St. Agnes. And it's really exciting. So I cannot describe this by words, you know. Like, you know, to preach about the gospel of Jesus, you know, to preach about Jesus' life is really amazing.
To be able to unpack the Gospels as a deacon is a really incredible gift, and it is humbling at times. But like Yamid said, it is a very exciting opportunity for us to start to practice and hone those skills as a deacon and take the classes that we've taken and apply them to preaching, you know, at the seminary and also around the Archdiocese of Milwaukee.
As you know from transitional deacons of the past, they're remarkably busy, and no one's afraid to call on them and ask them to help out with various activities, so you'll certainly get a lot of practice. It's a very moving part in the diaconate ordination rite when the candidate kneels before the bishop. Bishop hands him the Book of the Gospels and says, "Receive the Book of the Gospels." And I think it goes something like, "Believe what you read, preach what you believe, and practice what you preach." So there's this very clear sense that the Word of God is handed on to you. What an amazing responsibility that is, because it means that church has enough confidence in your faith and in your formation and your understanding of the gospel to say that you will become a voice, you will become a herald of the gospel, just as Augustine and Anselm and Thomas Aquinas and John Paul II and St. Peter were. I mean, it's just an amazing thought. And so it means that you're not called just to pick up one of those homily helps, you know, that you can get off the internet or in a magazine and just read it to the people. So the church is really saying the challenge is for you to digest the gospel into your life and then to speak from your heart, your faith, your experience. So that preaching is really very key. You're currently taking a class on preaching, and I know there'll be other classes next year as well. That's right?
That's correct, yep.
And my hope is to have you do some practice preaching at the seminary before you're ordained, because it's just extremely important. The sacraments reserved then for the priesthood are the Eucharist, reconciliation, and anointing of the sick. But the two sacraments that deacons can perform are baptism and witnessing marriages, obviously. Do you see yourselves doing much of that in your teaching parishes as your ordained deacon? Jamid, you're at St. Agnes in Butler. Ryan, you're at St. Leonard's in Muskego. Are those pastors going to put you to work, do you think, this coming summer and next year?
My pastor there has already been devising plans for my summer, and it looks like I will be very busy doing baptisms and different things at the parish to stay busy. So
that's great. How about you, Jamie? Does Father Tim have marriages and baptisms lined up for you?
Well, I don't know yet, you know, but we are looking forward to being, you know, baptizing, you know, and participating, being a witness on weddings. Something that I've been talking to Fire Team lately, but we haven't, you know, decided, you know, anything yet. But I think I'm going to be working hard.
Very good. I know my first assignment was St. Anthony's in Menominee Falls, and I went there as a transitional deacon and stayed as a priest. So my first baptisms are really there, and it was a very young parish. I think it still is, but we had about 300 baptisms a year. So there were Sunday afternoons we would do like 10 baptisms at a time, you know, one of these communal prayer things. And I remember my first set of baptisms, I think 5 of the 10 babies present were just screaming their heads off through the whole ceremony. And I'm thinking, am I supposed to wait till they stop crying? And then I waited a couple minutes and they didn't stop crying. And I thought, well, just have to keep going. And now it doesn't faze me at all. I mean, you just keep plowing through no matter what the distractions or cries are from the people that you're ministering to. But what a joy that is to, you know, baptize someone's baby and to see the pride, the joy, the love, the gratitude in the eyes of parents, and to do something amazing, you know, that through this very simple ceremony that this child is now an adopted son or daughter of the Father, someone redeemed by Christ, a member of the church, washed free of original sin, and that's pretty heavy-duty stuff for essentially a 20-minute ceremony, and you'll be blessed to do that. When you think of this coming year at the seminary, how will being a deacon change this final year for you? What's asked of deacons at the seminary that, you know, isn't until you're in that final year? What does that look like?
Each seminarian takes on a particular leadership role in the seminary, but I think particularly for the deacons, they're expected to take on even more of a leadership role in the community. And so, you know, delegating community responsibilities to other seminarians and, you know, kind of being that active presence in the community is, I think, a primary role of the deacons. Also, liturgically, we're asked to serve as deacons at the liturgies at the seminary. So that includes our large liturgies that we celebrate, patronal feast day, and also just being a presence within the community, the larger community, the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. As the future ordained priests, we have a very significant role to play in representing the seminary, the formation faculty, and our brother seminarians.
Jamid, how do you think the other seminarians look to the deacons in the house? I mean, what's the relationship between the newer seminarians and those that are in their final year of formation? You know, maybe how do you look at the deacons ahead of you, and how do you hope that the people behind you will look at you next year?
Well, deacons are very important at the seminary, and they are really like examples of life, so something that we need to follow. And really, you know, when they are talking, when they are, you know, living at the seminary, walking, doing, you know, whatever they are doing, we really see them, you know, as very good, you know, example of life, you know. And it's a very good encouragement, you know, to follow too. Deacons are preaching always at the seminary, you know. They are talking about God, you know. They are talking about, you know, Jesus Christ. They are talking about life. And they are talking about, you know, the church. And those things are very important, you know, in our lives, and things that we need to follow in as future ministers.
I think it's definitely true the other seminarians look to the deacons as a model of what to do, especially at the beginning. So, you know, it makes sense that those that are at the end of their formation have embodied to the best and profound ability that they can, you know, the ideals of seminary formation. So one should be able to look at a deacon and say, this is what a seminarian represents. This is how a seminarian lives. Not to put all this pressure on you, but I know you'll do a great job. This is Father Don Hying, rector at St. Francis de Sales Seminary, and you're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, the radio show about your seminary that comes at you every other Friday at 9:30 a.m. We'll be right back.
Did you know that supporting relevant radio is something anybody can do? Here are three ways you can help our mission. One, of course, is spiritual. Pray for the success of Relevant Radio so we can continue to spread the word of truth here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and throughout our great country. The second is vocal. Tell five people you know about Relevant Radio and ask them to tell five more people about our compelling spiritual programming. A third way to support Relevant Radio is financial. Phone a donation to 1-877-291-0123. 877-291-0123. Give online at relevantradiomilwaukee.com or advertise your business on 100.1 FM. We reach thousands of faith-filled listeners who tell us they support our on-air advertisers. On-air, online, and on-demand, 24/7 for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. This is Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM, and relevantradiomilwaukee.com.
Did you know we have a few Marian treasures right here in the Milwaukee area? Why not visit the beautiful and scenic Marian Shrine of the Milwaukee Archdiocese located at 141 North 68th Street, or the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians at Holy Hill. These scenic shrines offer a perfect place to relax, reflect, and pray. Brought to you by Senglob Financial for all your financial needs at 262-646-4466. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments Incorporated.
New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hying.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, the rector there. And today we're blessed to have on our show Jamid Blanco and Ryan Pruce, two of our seminarians who are eagerly anticipating ordination to the transitional diaconate in 2 months, April 16th to be specific, in a beautiful Mass at St. John's Cathedral at 10:30 in the morning by Archbishop Jerome Listecki. It's the final step before their ordination as priests, which will be in May of 2012, and we're certainly blessed to have them. We've been talking about what a transitional deacon is, how that's different from a permanent deacon, what they're looking forward to, their role of leadership in the house at the seminary, and just the whole idea of diaconia as service, and how that's the foundation of every other part of holy orders and indeed every vocation within the church. And so we see in Christ that example of radical servanthood. You're the one who even lays down his life for the sheep. When a bishop puts on all of his vesture for Mass, if he puts on everything, the first thing he puts on after his alb is the Dalmatic and then the chasuble. And that's a reminder that even when one is a bishop, the foundation of that level of service is still the fact that he was ordained a deacon at one point. And so even when you become pope, you're still a deacon in a sense, because the diaconate is a foundational experience of holy orders that leads to the other two as well, both priesthood and episcopacy. So that means whenever I ask you to wash the dishes, you'll say yes, right, at the seminary.
Of course.
That's great. Want to talk a little bit about your experience in your teaching parish. Maybe not all of our listeners are aware that we kind of changed the format of pastoral formation. You know, pastoral formation is the ways that our seminarians get their feet wet, their hands dirty, working in hospitals, nursing homes, but ultimately schools and parishes, just to be able to have that experience that integrates the rest of the aspects of their formation. And so we're currently in the third year of what we call the teaching parish model. And the idea is that in the beginning of his first year of theology, a seminarian is assigned to a particular parish in the diocese with the hope that throughout his 4 years of theological formation, he will be introduced both sequentially, organically, completely to all the different aspects of parish life in this particular community. So that at the end of his formation and at the beginning of his priestly ministry, he will have deeply lived the experience of a parish right here in the Archdiocese where he will serve. I think, as mentioned, Jamid is at St. Agnes in Butler with Father Tim Bickle as pastor, and Ryan is at St. Leonard's in Muskego with Father Bill Kohler. So both of you are currently coming relatively to the end of your third year of the teaching parish, and you were the first class to go through it. So, you know, I commend you for being our test case, our guinea pigs with this. But I think it's gone well. How would you say that it's gone? How has it helped with your formation? What are some of the things you've done in your teaching parish, and how is it going to make you a better priest, do you think, Shamid?
Well, to be in a teaching parish is a good opportunity to get to know first a parish in the U.S., for me, especially for me, and to interact with a community. It is very important to be active in a parish. I've been doing so many things since I've been at St. Agnes. And the priest, Father, the pastor, Father Tim, he has gave me the opportunity to interact, to be involved in many activities of the parish. So that's been remarkable for me. Now I'm feeling so much comfortable when going to my parish than when I was going, you know, in the first and second year.
You've really developed relationships with the staff, with parishioners. You've taught in the school. You've done sick calls. You've lectured at Mass.
Yes.
Gone to parish council meetings. And the whole point is to be immersed in all of that, to learn it and to learn it well. You make a good point, Jamid. For our seminarians from other countries, obviously, parishes are structured differently in different countries and cultures. So I think there's something distinctive about the U.S. experience is probably the predominance of lay ministers, the organization of committees, you know, kind of this whole group of lay people that certainly help, you know, with ministry within the parish. I would think that's a little different than the church in Colombia, right?
It is totally different, yes, in Colombia. So the way priests run churches are totally different than here in the U.S. You know? I have learned that we need to be so organized, we need to be on time always, mm-hmm. and that people are always serious about time. So mm-hmm. those things have been so important to me, and I've been learning those things too.
Yeah, so it's important to learn the culture here and, you know, how parishes are. I think parish life is just amazingly, what would you say, structured and complex at times, much more than even the average person in the pew would understand. I mean, people come to Mass, send their kids to CCD, maybe sit on a committee. But when you look at the totality of parish life, which a pastor or priest must, I mean, there's an amazing variety, complexity, structure to all of that. And so you really need to get that if you're going to be an effective leader of it. How about you, Ryan? You've been at St. Leonard's now for almost 3 years, right?
Yeah.
How's your experience been?
It's been a wonderful experience at St. Leonard's. I love being involved in the school, and the different programs that the school has, and having an opportunity to go in and teach the kids about religious education and different things, and just spending time with the various families at St. Leonard's. It's been a wonderful opportunity to get to know a community and just really to experience parish life on many different levels. And to take that experience, I think, as a future priest, really gives you an advantage to know what you're getting into in terms of parish life and what, you know, you can experience as a pastor.
That's really great. You know, I was in the seminary in the 80s, and you know, I did CPE in a hospital. I worked at county jail, volunteered at a parish on my own, did teaching, but was never in a structured parish program like you are. And so I thought I would like to be a parish priest. I mean, but I didn't really have any experience to know that. And I just think it gives you a foundation to move forward saying, I like these things. I like teaching the children. I like being at Mass. Even I like going to parish council meetings, maybe, which is an amazing thing. But you know, this summer, then, you'll be kind of more structured in the parish, right, as deacon. And I think both of you are working on kind of coming up with a covenant or an agreement of what you're going to do in the parish this summer. And that'll just give you a great taste of what's to come, I think. Yeah. Hopefully some vacation time as well, right? It's your last summer of freedom before you're going to be a priest for the next how many years until you go to the big hereafter. But hopefully there's some vacation time built in as well, right?
Certainly.
For the summer. That's great. Now, with you, you're not the only two being ordained. Who are your classmates? Tell us about them.
We have great classmates. Juan Manuel Camacho is a seminarian who's also from Columbia. We have Brad Krofcek, who is a seminarian from Milwaukee. We also have Enrique Hernandez, who's from Columbia, but studying for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And we have Jacob Strand, who's studying in Rome, but will be ordained a few months after our class, but is part of our class as well. And our ordination will also include Friar Hans Flandor, who is from the Conventual Franciscans from the Basilica of St. Joseph, who will be ordained with our class as well.
Mm-hmm. So it means we'll have six new priests in the spring of 2012, ready, able, and willing to serve for many years to come. And we're blessed to have some that are of multi-culture, multi-language to serve in the increasing diversity of our own people. So both Jamid and Ryan are just great seminarians, will be great priests, and it's been a blessing for me to be with them and to journey with them on their road to the priesthood. And our diocese is in for a treat as these guys become priests and will become our leaders. You know, so when I'm 93 years old and in my dotage, they'll be running the diocese, and that's a wonderful thing, and for that we praise God. So thank you, Jamid and Ryan, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And more importantly, for your yes to the priesthood, your yes to God. So please know of our prayers as you move closer to that Paschal Mystery of Christ to April 16th of 2011. Just a couple points of interest. We have our Institution of Reader on Saturday, February 26th. It's the first step towards the priesthood. Diaconate is the last step. Also, our open house will be on Sunday, April 3rd, beginning with Mass at noon, followed by 2 hours of tours and opportunities to know of how to live Christ now, which is the theme. Participation in St. Vincent de Paul Society, Reach Out, Reach In, Global World Youth Mission. Join us next on Friday, March 4th, when we'll talk with Deacon Russ Arnett, who will be ordained to the Catholic priesthood next month under the special pastoral provision for former Episcopal priests entering the Catholic Church. Fascinating story, a fascinating interview. So please tune in on March 4th to listen to that. And thank you. God bless you for all of your support of us. And thanks for tuning in today. And don't forget to pray for Jamid and Ryan and their great classmates as they move ever closer to be priests of Jesus Christ for you. God bless you.
This week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you by the Senglob Financial Group.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com. keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.